Welcome back to another edition of Phillies Today. It's Kyle Forsini hanging with you for the next half an hour. And a lot has happened in Phillies land since we last spoke. There's been some injuries. There is a tough July schedule coming up. A lot to touch on in the last week in Phillies baseball and future weeks coming up for the Phillies in the month of July. We'll touch on all of that. We'll relate how those injuries the Phillies have had in the last couple of days will also impact the way that this July schedule ends up playing out. And then as well, we'll whip it around Major League Baseball. There's been some interesting things to note, some pitchers that have been very, very good pitchers for their teams for the last couple of years, either on the IL or being sent down to the minor leagues. We'll touch on who those players are in a little bit, but I want to start first, of course, with the Phillies, and I want to look at the injuries that this team has sustained in recent days, with Kyle Schwarber going on the injured list, Bryce Harper going on the injured list, and obviously JT Realmuto remains on the injured list. The catching rotation is just between Garrett Stubbs and Rafael Marchand at this point in time. And the Schwarber and Harper injuries, I almost want to relate this to how the Phillies outlook on the next couple of years is going to be as well. So we'll touch on that. And the fact that these injuries to Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper happening in the same game was such a dagger. It was one of the tougher games to watch, as Zach Wheeler blew that game late. Matt Strom and Jeff Hoffman also couldn't get the job done. And then you have Schwarber, who comes out of the game with a groin injury. And then you've got Harper on the last play of the game when they're down three runs, pulling his hamstring, you know, right as he gets to first base, and his reaction as soon as it happens, it's like, oh my God, you know, is this looks terrible? Did he tear his hamstring? Is this just going to be some injury where he's going to be out for months now and we're out the MVP for a significant portion of the season? Luckily, does not seem like that's going to be the case. It seems like both Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper, which the Bryce Harper one was, you know, you saw the pain that he was in. The Kyle Schwarber injury, we didn't necessarily see and just happened to notice that he was getting pinch hit for. But Bryce Harper's, it looked like there was some real danger going on there. So to hear that he should only be on the injured list for the minimum amount of time, he's on the 10-day IL, the fact that it should only be about 10 days is a welcome sign for Phillies fans. But it's also something that, look, Bryce Harper's body has proven time and time again that he is kind of just superhuman. And Bryce Harper is always going to come back quicker than you would think. Now, with a hamstring injury, it's always tough. You don't know if it's actually going to be the 10-day IL or if he's going to need more time, because hamstrings are always more likely to be re-aggravated once you aggravated once. So you don't know what it's going to be like when he tries to ramp up. But the good news is they said it was similar to what Brandon Marsh went through earlier in the year, and Brandon Marsh did come back. I think Brandon Marsh came back after 12 days. So if that's the case with Harper's injury, you obviously have some sort of optimism, and it's a good welcome sign that we should hopefully be getting him back around the Dodgers series, maybe the A series if they give him a little bit more time. But around that Dodgers series that's coming up on July 9th is about when we should be expecting to get Bryce Harper back. And I mentioned that I wanted to kind of relate those injuries into how the Phillies next couple of years, really, as a whole, like the outlook on those years. There was a really, really good article by John Foley, that I had seen on Twitter talking about how the Phillies are in win now mode, but they also are set up for the future, and how that creates kind of a really good problem for the Phillies to have. Now, general manager Dave Dombrowski, Sam Fold, president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, I guess I should say. Sam Fold, technically the general manager of this team, but Dave Dombrowski is the one that makes all the moves. They have a good problem to have, but a tricky problem at that, in the fact that they have guys that are going to be here for what seems like a long time, right? They don't have really anybody of note that will be a free agent at the end of this year. Kyle Schwarber, who is one of the biggest names on the team, obviously, and he only signed a four-year contract when he joined in 2022, but he also still has 1 year remaining on his deal after this year. So you're not going to be losing Kyle Schwarber after this year. Nick Castellanos, if you want to go there, he signed through 2026. He will still be here after this year and after next year. Bryce Harper obviously signed through into the 2030s. Trey Turner signed into the 2030s. Aaron Nola signed until 2033. Zach Wheeler signed through the 2027 season. You got guys like Alec Boehm, who won't reach free agency until 2027. You have guys like Bryson Stott, who are under team control through, I think, 2028. Like, a lot of the core parts of this team, the guys are there for the foreseeable future. JT Realmuto is another one, by the way. He signed through the 2025 season as well, just like Schwarber, but that could end up being a blessing in disguise for the Phillies, or the fact that, you know, JT is obviously getting up there in age. He's caught the most innings of anybody in baseball for the last what feels like 7 or 8 years. He's just a workhorse behind the plate, but he's on the wrong side of 30. He's going to be 34 by the time his contract runs out. So look, there's guys that are signed here for a long time. There are guys that are signed here for maybe only a couple of more years. But that's the issue the Phillies find themselves in, is like this core of players that are very, very good and have been able to get you about as close to the promised land as you could possibly get to the last couple of years. They're here for a little bit of time, but at the same time, a lot of those guys like Schwarber, like Castellanos, like Harper, like Turner, you know, some of those bigger guys, they're on the wrong side of 30 now. And how I wanted to relate that in is just to say the injuries that we're seeing with some of these guys, like we're seeing with Schwarber, like we're seeing with Rice, like we've seen with JT, that's what happens as soon as you get to that kind of age. Now, you're gonna run into more injuries. Guys' bodies are going to break down easier. Guys' bodies might not be able to recover as easy as they used to in the past. And that's kind of the trajectory that I see the Phillies on. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the Phillies are going to be contenders for the next 5 years, hopefully, if all goes well. But it would be naive of me to not sit here and tell you that there is some concern with, are these guys going to be able to stay healthy for this long? Are these guys going to be able to go out there and play 135 to 140 games every season? Or are they going to need more time off? Are they going to be spending time on the injured list more frequently than they have in years past? And I don't think it's outlandish to say, yeah, these guys are going to be more frequently injured than they have been in years past. That's just going to happen with age. And we're seeing it kind of already with the Phillies, as of right now. And it brings into the question of, you know, look, if you want to kind of go all in, you want to try and go out there and get guys to pair with Schwarber, Harper, Turner, Realmuto, Castellanos, you want somebody to come in and help this team right now, you're going to need to be able to trade some of your younger prospects. You might need to trade away a guy like Aiden Miller. You might need to trade away a guy like Andrew Painter. You might need to trade away a guy like Justin Crawford. You never know exactly how it's going to go about, you know, when you're going to need to make that move to bring in the younger guys, because the guys you have right now are getting up there. And are they going to be able to stay healthy enough? Remains to be seen. But do you also want to trade away that young talent that you could then pair with those guys to make the roster still be a little bit younger, to still kind of extend your contending window so that it doesn't end after this? These guys that are in their primes now are over. You want to have more guys coming into their prime as soon as they're leaving theirs. So it creates kind of a fun problem for Dombrowski and company to have, where you got to kind of... you're contending, obviously. You're not trying to rebuild the team, but you got to figure out, is this worthwhile for us to kind of go all in but trade away some of our better prospects and have an aging core, just kind of hope that they can get it done within the next year or two? Or do we want to hold on to what we have and bring them up at some point and then just bolster that roster? I'm glad I'm not the one making the decision in that case, because it's a very tough situation to be in. But it'll be interesting to see what the Phillies are able to do with it over the next couple of years, because, look, this team is contending and they're contending right now, but you also still want to plan for the future. You don't want to have the 2011, drought happen after that year where they don't have anybody left in the minor leagues because they dealt everybody away already. And then you're basically left in purgatory where you can't contend for a decade. So it brings into question an interesting tactic that the Phillies brass is going to have to... is going to have to navigate here. And look, I'm mentioning some of the injuries that these players currently have on the Phillies, and I want to relate that back to the season that we're currently having, of course. And look, they're going into July. They're about to play their first game in July against the Cubs tonight, Tuesday, at Wrigley Field. And then they've if you look at this July schedule, and I can't stress this enough, it just feels like such a gauntlet. Now, look, the Cubs are not a world beater. The Cubs are 37-46 on the year. The Cubs aren't a team... That you necessarily need to fear, right? The Cubs are 39-46, but they're not a team that you're sitting there afraid of. They're not the Braves. They're not the Dodgers. They're not the Yankees. They're not the Orioles. But the Cubs are going to be a tough series. Now, the Phillies swept the Cubs 3 straight in Wrigley Field last year, but if you go back 2 years ago, the Phillies were 0-6 versus the Cubs. So it's like, what, Jekyll and Hyde, who's going to show up this year? Is this going to be the year where the Phillies continue their dominance over the Cubs at Wrigley Field, or were we going to be reset 2 years like we were 2 years ago, where you go 0-6 versus them? So it's an interesting series coming up against a team that the Phillies have kind of had a weird history against, especially in recent memory. And playing at Wrigley Field, look, the Cubs are going to sell out that stadium, I have no doubt. That's just seemingly what they do all the time. Cubs fans are good. They're always going to show out, and they're always going to watch their team play. It doesn't really matter what the record is. So you're going to have a tough series on your hands, and it's going to be interesting to see if the Phillies can make it work or if the Phillies are going to are going to struggle out there. Pitching matchups, too. You got Michael Mercado making not his major league debut, but his starting debut for the Phillies. He's pitching tonight against Hayden Wyszynski. It's going to be it's not one that I see the Phillies favored in, just because of the fact that they have a pitcher on the mound that's never pitched, never started in a big league game before, with an offense that's not what it should be. You've got the injuries. You've got guys starting that aren't normally starting. It's not exactly what Michael Mercado was hoping for in his major league debut. You would think he'd be hoping to have Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber and JT in that lineup, and they're not going to be. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to fare pretty well in that series tonight. And then you're facing Shota Imanaga in the second game of the series. It's Zach Wheeler versus him, which is a very, very fascinating matchup, having those two go against one another for a multitude of reasons. A, because they didn't pitch, they could have easily pitched Zach Wheeler, I believe, today on normal rest. He had pitched last Thursday. I believe they could have pitched him in today's game and then have him set up to pitch against the Braves. They don't. They end up giving Zach Wheeler more time off, which Zach Wheeler has in the past voiced his displeasure with that, how he wants to be on that 5-day schedule, and he does not want to have any extra days off. Well, he's going to have an extra day off before this start, and he faces Shota Imanaga, like I said, on Tuesday night. That's a really good pitching matchup. Both guys having really good years. Both guys are still in Cy Young contention for the year. So although the Cubs might not have the best record, they do have some pretty decent pitchers that the Phillies are going to face this series. And you go right from Wrigley, you go down to Atlanta, and the Phillies could not be getting Atlanta at a worse time. And I know that the Braves are 8 games back in the division, so it's not like the Braves are breathing down your neck. They're right on the doorstep. They're waiting to knock the door down and overtake the division. I get it. But what I also understand is the fact that you don't want to give the Braves more life. I don't like the fact that you're playing the Braves extremely shorthanded. And look, I get it. The Braves are playing shorthanded too. They're without Spencer Strider. They're without Ronald Acuna. But they've been without those guys for months on end now, and they've been able to make it work. And the Braves are not missing 4 or 5 guys from their lineup. They're missing 1 from their lineup. They're missing 1 from their rotation. And then, look, I get it. They're the 2 best players they have on their team. But the Phillies are arguably more injured right now, and their lineup has been more decimated than the Braves has. And I just hate going into this series against Atlanta as shorthanded as the Phillies are, because it's felt like for a while, you know, they haven't played the Braves since the opening series of the year. They obviously lose 2 out of 3 in that series, and it felt like at the time the sky was falling. How crazy we were to think that back then. But now you're facing them all the way in July again. It's the first time that you've played them since. And it feels like you're getting cheated a little bit. And of course, look, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to tell you the Phillies need to go out there and the Phillies need to go win that series and play well against the Braves. I don't care who's in that starting lineup. It's a series down in Atlanta. It's a huge series. Go out there, figure it out, get the job done, and don't make any excuses. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't understand the fact that, yes, the Phillies are incredibly shorthanded. The Braves are a very good team. The Braves still have a good pitching staff without Spencer Strider. They still have Chris Sale. They still have Ronaldo Lopez. And they still have Max Fried on that team. So they're still a very solid team. They're still a team that's going to be in the playoffs and it's going to be pushing you for the division for the entire year, as much as we want to claim the division is over. But it does stink that, you know, the Phillies are going into that series shorthanded. So it's an unfortunate way for that to happen. It's an unfortunate timing of the injuries that the Phillies have sustained. And it's unfortunate that they're not going to be back before that Atlanta series. But they should be back, hopefully, at least from what we've heard from Schwarber, is he believes he'll be back for that Dodgers series coming up on July 9th. And it just feels like you're listing gauntlet team after, one hard team after the next. You got the Cubs, you got the Braves, and both of those series are on the road, mind you. And then you come home and it's like, you get a nice sigh of relief. You were on a 6-game road trip, but now you're able to come back home to Citizens Bank Park where you win. Feels like every game there. Of course, they're going to right the ship. And then you realize, oh no, you face the Dodgers. You face the other best team in the National League that's fighting you for home field advantage. And look, you welcome these matchups. I'm not saying I'm afraid of any of these teams. I'm just saying that it's unfortunate that the Phillies are in the position they are at this point when they're going to end up facing these teams. I wish they were at full strength. But anyway, you get the Dodgers coming up for a 3-game series after that. So it's been a really, really tough stretch of 9 games. But then you get kind of a layup. You face Oakland and you face them at home and you get them for 3. Then you go to Pittsburgh for 3 directly after that. And, Pittsburgh is not a great team, but it's a place where the Phillies have kind of struggled in not maybe the most recent history, but they had trouble winning series in Pittsburgh for a while until last year. Then you go to Minnesota after that. Minnesota, who's a solid team. Minnesota's not a world beater, but Minnesota is well over 500. I believe they're 47 and 37 on the year. And then you go from Minnesota, you go to Cleveland, and Cleveland's obviously leading that division and has over 50 wins. And they're actually one of the teams I wanted to mention too, that had a pitcher that got sent down to the minor leagues who had been a really solid pitcher for them in previous years. We'll touch on that in a little bit shortly. But you face them at the end of July. You face them. Now, granted, you are home, which is nice. You face them in Citizens Bank Park, but they're going to be a tough series. They're a young up-and-coming team that has kind of meshed very well together and also has some of the nice core pieces from previous years that have been able to get them to the playoffs, it feels like, every year. So they're going to be a fun series. And then you've got the Yankees at home after that to round out the month of July. That's a three-game series, and it's in Citizens Bank Park. I cannot imagine what the crowds are going to be for that series. It's going to be awesome, except for the fact that the Wednesday game of that series starts at 12:35. I don't know who thought that was a good idea to have these two teams play at 12:35 in their series. It feels like that's just going to, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure Citizens Bank Park will be sold out and they'll find a way for, you know, fans are going to find a way to go to that game, but it's just a shame that that game has to happen at 12:35. So real quick, just running down the Philly schedule in this past month, you got the Cubs, you're in Chicago, you got the Braves, you're in Atlanta, you got the Dodgers, you're home for three, you got the A's, you're home for three, then you go back out on the road, you play Pittsburgh for three, you play Minnesota for three, and then you come back home for six, you go to Cleveland for three, and the Yankees for three. So you go Cubs below 500, Braves above 500, Dodgers above 500, A's and Pirates below, and then Twins, Guardians, and Yankees all above 500. So it's a tough schedule in the month of July, and it's kind of a month that the Phillies have not had up to this point this year. We haven't seen the Phillies schedule kind of bear down and get this tough, so it'll be interesting to see if they're able to overcome this, if they're able to have a 500 month or better. And without some of your top guys for at least a little bit in this month, it's going to be tough for them to do so. And I want to touch on just kind of Major League Baseball as a whole, as I always do. You know, we talk Phillies heavy in this early in these shows, and then we kind of whip it around Major League Baseball, and we just look at what's going on in the sport and kind of the way that the divisions are aligned and how they're setting up at this point in the year. Since we last talked, the Yankees and Baltimore now deadlocked at first place in the American League East. The Yankees have struggled. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. Baltimore has overtaken them, but they've tied them at least for the division lead. Those two teams knotted at the top, and they both have run differentials that are over 100. I mean, they are both just world beaters so far this year. The Orioles have a run differential of plus 112. The Yankees have a run differential of plus 102. I mean, both teams have just seemingly been great, as we expected both of them to be this year. Going to the AL Central, the Guardians. Now, I mentioned the Guardians are one of the teams that had a pitcher that has been sent down to the minor leagues. That surprised me, and that pitcher was Tristan McKenzie. Tristan McKenzie got sent down to AAA. He had a lot of struggles this year, which was interesting because Tristan McKenzie has been such a good pitcher for the Guardians for a long time. I didn't feel like he was a guy that was ever going to be optioned. Felt like you would just kind of let him ride it out and figure it out in the major leagues and see if he could regain some of his old form. He was unable to do that. Unfortunately, he gets sent down to AAA, but the Guardians still leading that division at 52-30. They're six games ahead of Minnesota, who is 47-37. Kansas City behind them at 47-39. Detroit, who the Phillies just took 2 out of 3 from, which, by the way, was their first road series win in a month, which just felt like it was insane that the Phillies have a record over 500 on the road, but had done so well on the road in the beginning of the season that they could afford losing. I think it was four straight series on the road, and then finally ending up winning one against Detroit. They also are in that division with the White Sox, who are 24-62. The White Sox officially cannot win over 100 games this year. They've got 62 losses already. If they were to win out, they'd go 162. Obviously, that's not happening, and Luis Robert's on the trade block, and a lot of other players on that team are as well. The White Sox are in shambles, as they have been for the last couple of years. In the West, it's getting interesting in the West. Now, if you haven't paid attention to this division at all, if this is your first time listening to me, I've talked a lot on this show about the fact that teams like Houston and teams like Texas, both who were in the playoffs last year, obviously Texas wins the World Series. Houston has won that division, it seems like, every year for the past decade. Both of those two teams have been under 500 for the majority of the season this year and have not been able to figure it out. They've felt like they've just stumbled and gotten in their own way at every turn. Well, now you've got Houston only three games back of Seattle now. Now, Seattle is 47-39. They are, like I said, three games ahead of Houston, who is 43-31 now. They just got over 500 for the first time this year a couple of days ago. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. It feels like Houston's figuring it out. It feels like Houston might be replicating the model the Phillies have done the last couple of years, where they say, we're not going to play good baseball for the first two and a half months of the season, but then once you get us into the midsummer, we're going to figure it out and we're going to be fine. And that might be what's happening with Houston this year. They are 43-31, three games back. Texas Rangers, unfortunately, not following suit in that division. Now, they have had Max Scherzer come back. Dane Dunning has come off the IL for them as well, but he's been relegated to the bullpen. Corey Seager's been out with an injury as well. They just feel like they have been so injured the entire year. Anytime that it's like one step forward, 10 steps back for this team. They just can't seemingly keep everybody healthy at the same time. They're 38-46. They won a slugfest against the Orioles the other day on Sunday Night Baseball, where they won, and I think it was 11-2. And Wyatt Langford hit for the cycle. The Wyatt Langford story, by the way, look him up. It's insane. He was drafted last year. And you know, is already in the big leagues and has already hit for the cycle. So that's awesome. They are 38-46, like I said. They're eight games back of Seattle and just have not been able to figure it out this year. And then the Angels, who had been on a little bit of a winning streak, I think they'd won five straight games. They're 36-47. They're 9.5 back, and Oakland's 30-56. They are 17 games back. All right, that rounds out the American League. Oh, and I never actually told you about the American League East. The Boston is 44-39, 8.5 back. Tampa is 42-42, 11 back. And then the Blue Jays, 38-46. The Blue Jays are going to be sellers of the deadline, which I don't know if anybody saw coming into this year, having been in the playoffs last year. But the Blue Jays just have not been able to figure it out all season long. All right, that rounds out the American League. Going over to the National League, the Phillies obviously are eight games ahead of Atlanta. Atlanta is tough because it feels like they figure it out, and then they lose two in a row. And then it feels like they figure it out, and then their offense goes silent. And they lost 1-0 to Chicago, the White Sox, you know, the other day. And it's just like, what is going on with this team? This is not the team that we've seen for recent years. This is not the team that you expect to see with the Braves. But, of course, they were due for a little bit of regression because everybody on their team seemingly had a career year last year. Plus, you couple in the losses of Acuna, you couple in the losses of Strider, and it all culminates in the Braves not being quite as good as they had been in years past. The Mets since the London series. My God, Jose Alvarado blows game two in the London series, and all of a sudden the Mets get life breathed back into their season. They're 41-41. They've been on fire, like I said, since that series. They're obviously 13 back of the Phillies still, but they've been red hot. They beat the Nationals last night, who were 39-45. The Marlins, who the Phillies just split into a four-game series with, are 30-54. Going down to the NL Central, and this also has one of the teams that I want to touch on here. Milwaukee is 50-35. They just lost a game in extra innings last night to Colorado. They are six games ahead of St. Louis, who's 43-40. Pittsburgh, 40-43, nine games back. Cincinnati, 10.5 back at 39-45. And the Cubs are, like I said, 39-46. Now, Cincinnati is one of the teams that I wanted to mention because Cincinnati has a very, very good pitching staff. If you don't follow Cincinnati at all and you don't know much about them, they've got Hunter Green, they've got Frankie Montes, they've got Nick Lodolo. Those are three very, very good pitchers. And the Reds seemingly can never figure it out. Now, Nick Lodolo is the one that I want to highlight on because Nick Lodolo was 8-3 with a 2.96 ERA. He's a strikeout machine. He's one of the better pitchers in baseball when he's healthy, but the guy cannot stay healthy. He's been on the IL three times now this year, and it feels like anytime he's able to get momentum and he's able to be really good for a significant stretch of time, he instantly goes back on the IL. This time he's on the IL for a blister. But the Reds are another team, kind of like the Rangers, where it seems like they take one step forward and they take seven steps back, where they just can't seem to figure it out this year. And they were a team that I was high on coming into this year, thinking they were going to be a team that would knock on the door of the playoffs because of the way they finished last year. As of this point in time, of course, like we know, we've seen the Phillies model over the past couple of years. Just because you're under 500 now doesn't mean you're going to be under 500 at the end of the season. But the Reds struggling right now. They're six games under 500 and 10.5 back in that division. And then lastly, going to the NL West, Dodgers 52-33. They're the closest team in the National League to the Phillies. They are 7.5 games up on San Diego, who seem to figure out their season at 46-42. Arizona, who I've highlighted many times, numerous other times on this show, they're 41-43, 10.5 back. San Francisco, 41-44, 11 back. And then Colorado, 29-55, are 22.5 games back. So that rounds out the National League. You've got the Phillies, who are the clear-cut team to start the National League. They have the best win percentage at 655. They have the best record, obviously, in the MLB at 55-29. And they are just the cream of the crop right now. And even with these injuries, it'll be interesting to see how they're able to overcome them, especially this week, especially in this tough month of July. But take it in, soak it in, the fact that you are a fan of the best team in Major League Baseball, the best team in the National League, and the team that, if all goes well, if they can get some of these guys back healthy, should be on the fast track to getting the number one seed in the National League this year. All right, that's going to do it for me on this episode of Phillies Today. Appreciate everybody out there listening. Appreciate everybody hopefully learning a little bit more about Major League Baseball as a whole and kind of seeing that, look, the Phillies are the best team in baseball. There's a lot of other good teams, but not like the Phillies. All right, that's going to do it for me. We'll talk next week after a tough stretch of Phillies baseball this week. Hopefully, we'll be talking after some wins.